The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So glad you could join us. We've got some great music and great fellowship. So let's pray. Father, how great you are. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You alone, O God, are worthy of praise and honor. And so we do so this morning, as best we know how, from our hearts, from our spirit, unto you. Thanking you for this wonderful time. Thank you for family, that we've seen so many family members this year, at the end of the year for the Christmas season. And Father, I pray that everyone who's flying will be able to make the flights and get home wherever they are across the nation, probably across the world, as flights have been delayed. Protect us, Father. Let the joyfulness of this season spill over into every day of our life this coming year. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus. And all the kids said, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Okay. Sounds more like it. We're going to tell it on the mountains. Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's sing it again. Go tell it on the mountain,
over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born.
And God sent salvation, the blessed Christmas morn. Oh, yeah.
Sing, go tell it on the mountain,
over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Yeah. When I was a seeker,
I sought both night and day.
I asked
the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. Tell it on the mountain,
over the hills and
everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain
that Jesus Christ is born.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
He made me a watchman
upon the city wall. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. Oh, yeah.
So go
tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain
that Jesus Christ is born.
Yeah.
While shepherds kept their watching,
or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light.
Go
tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere go. Tell it on the, tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And lo, when they had seen him, they all bowed down and prayed. They held on together to where the babe was laid.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yes, Lord.
The shepherds feared and trembled, and when they above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yeah.
When I was a sinner, I prayed both night and day.
Asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. Go tell it on the mountain,
over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that
Jesus Christ is born.
Sing it again. Go,
go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Yes,
Jesus Christ is born.
We rejoice.
Jesus Christ is born.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I'm overjoyed for Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I want to shout hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
To
yes,
the
Lord.
King.
We have reason to rejoice, Lord, that you have come.
Let's shout, shout for joy.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, he's given us the victory.
Shout.
We yes, shout it to you, Lord. Hallelujah to the King of Kings.
For you set us free.
Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy. For the Lord has given you the victory. That's right. Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy. For the Lord has given you the victory. Shout, shout for joy.
Glory.
Shout,
hallelujah.
Shout for joy.
Thank you, Lord.
For the Lord
has given you the victory.
Yes, shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy. For the Lord
has given you the victory.
We sing, no weapon.
No weapon formed on. Given you the victory. Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy. For the Lord has given you the victory.
No weapon
formed against you will prosper.
That's right.
No kingdom raised against you shall stand.
For
the Lord is the rock of my salvation, rock of my salvation. I am overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, shout, shout for joy.
Shout, shout for joy. For the Lord has given
you the victory. Yes, he has. shout, shout for joy.
Shout, shout for joy, for the Lord has given you the victory.
Hallelujah. Shout, shout for joy.
Shout, shout for joy,
for the Lord has given you the victory. For the Lord has given you the victory.
Yes, he has. For the Lord has given you the victory.
I've got the victor living in me. I've got the victor living in me.
I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me. I've got the victor living in me. Yes.
I've got the victor living in me.
I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me.
So I will sing,
I will dance, I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our ranks, for the victor has won the war.
I've got the victor living in me.
Yes, Lord.
Got the victor living in me.
I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me. I've got the victor living in me. I've got the victor living in me. I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living.
And I will sing. And I will sing.
I will sing. And I will dance. I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our ranks,
for the victor has won the war. I've got the victor living in me.
Yes.
I've got the victor living in me.
I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me.
I've got the victor living in me.
I've got the victor living in me. I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I've got the victor living in me.
And I will sing,
I will dance, I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our ranks, for the victor has won the war.
I will sing,
I will dance,
I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our ranks, for the victor has won the war. He's won the war.
Yeah. He's won the war. He's won the war.
He's won the war. Yes, he has. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and setting us free, Lord God, giving us salvation.
Just going to give you a brief testimony of a victory. And as many of you know, we haven't seen our son hardly at all in the last 2 years, and he just lives in New Orleans. He's only 45 minutes away. But I believe it was Miss Pat told me last Sunday that God was going to do something and surprise us. And we got to see our son for Christmas. Yes, yeah, he came and met us and brought us gifts, and we gave him gifts. And God is repairing relationships. I was thinking about Donna with your sister, Deborah. God has done a miracle in that relationship. And I'm just excited that he's working in ways we cannot see. He's working even when we don't know it or we don't feel it. He's working on those situations that are troubling us. So I just praise him today, that Christmas is a time for miracles, isn't it? And we're just claiming that God is doing mighty works in your life, in my life, in your lives. And we're going to see the fruit of our prayers in this year, 2022. We're going to see the fruit of our prayers. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, hallelujah. Working on our
back. Oh, Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. great I am, great I am.
The great. He's the great I am.
This man, this king that was born, is the great I am.
Oh. I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one.
Hallelujah, holy, holy
God Almighty, great I am.
Who is worthy? There's none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am.
I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy?
There's none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am.
The mountains shake before you,
the demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am, the great I am.
Shake before you,
the demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Great I am, great I am.
Great
I am.
rejoice to you, O Lord. We lift our voice to you in praise, O Lord. We lift our voice to you in praise, O Lord. We lift our praise to you, O Lord. Hallelujah.
Every mountain shall be cast into the sea, Lord.
Hallelujah to you, O Lord.
Every mountain shall be rolled away.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Give me Jesus.
Jesus was the true light that gives light to every man who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which is his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, children not born of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, as we were singing this song, a scripture came to my mind about the great I am. I mean, it's incomprehensible that God, who created the heavens and the earth, laid down his glory and became a man, but the world didn't receive him. But those who did, hallelujah, he gave the right, I love that word, he gave the right to become children of God, not born of the world, but children born of the Word of God. That is great joy. That's what gives us joy during this Christmas season. The great I am and his power and his glory manifest among men. I sang that song. Mary, did you know? She knew, and we know. We know that he is more than a babe in a manger, but he is the Son of God, incarnate, made flesh, so that you and I could be forgiven. You and I could have life. You and I could rejoice at Christmas. You and I could put aside the gaiety of the world at Christmas and focus on Christ in the manger, the great I am born for us. Rejoice, my friends. This is the time for rejoicing. It is day. The light is still here. Jesus said, as long as the light is here, we've got things to do. That light is Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit, still here for us today. There'll come a time when the light will be gone, and this earth will fall back into darkness as it was in the beginning, before God spoke. But in the meantime, for us, we can dance, we can shout, we can sing, we can enjoy the moment, knowing that the one that we worship is the great I Am. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. Great songs. I'm telling you. Great collection of songs. I'm telling you. I just love the songs that Rove selects for us each week. And they tell such a wonderful story about God. It's all about Him anyway, all right? Well, I hope you've gotten over your fetish to eat. Because I've got good news for you. Beginning next Sunday, you can shed those pounds. Since we'll start our annual 21-day fast, all right? If you're watching and you've never done a 21-day fast, you say, well, how in heaven's name can I do that? Well, tune in next week and I'll give you all the details. But basically, it's a fast that we've known about here in this church from Daniel, where you, if it looks good and it tastes good, don't eat it. If it's green and it came out of the ground, help yourself. Now, that's good for people like Tommy, but that's not too good for me. I don't eat green things, all right? So I will struggle through some way, but you know, we don't fast to bend God's arm. We fast to bend our will so that we focus on spiritual things instead of the things of this world. We've been having a lot of worldly things, but we want to focus on the spiritual things. And after, you know, we've been doing this now for probably 12, 15 years, I suppose, every year. And every year I think, this is a year we're going to stop. And every year, the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. No, you're not. So y'all are going to have to join me, and I'll have some literature for you next week that'll help you through the fast. Go to Jensen Franklin's webpage, and he's got information galore about the fast and what it can do for us. So we're going to sharpen ourselves spiritually and prepare for 2022. You know, we didn't know last January what was going to face us in 2021. And it's been hellacious with COVID. Many of you have COVID and are sick. People died from it. We saw churches shut down. We saw the economy go in a tank. We saw just unbelievable things happen in 2021. I believe that the fast that we prepared ourselves with brought us through. It brought us through to where we are today. So I don't know what 2022 holds. I hope it's better things. But either way, I want to be prepared. So we'll be praying and fasting and giving at the end. And I'll tell you more about that as we get into it. But I just want to give you a heads up. In case you were feeling those extra pounds, they will melt away before your very eyes, okay? Well, today I want to talk about a subject, but before I do that, Miss Sherry, I see that hand, asked if she could give a testimony, so we're going to do that, and let me get the microphone for Miss Sherry. Just come on up here, Sherry. And there you go.
I wanted to thank, first of all, the worship team. Their songs hit the spot today.
They did, I'm telling you.
You know, we're grateful for all the testimonies we hear and the glories and wins that they signify. But a couple months back, I heard a minister speak about testimonies. And he said, you know, they're great, But I never hear of a testimony during the trial. It's always afterwards. Well, I have one today for during the trial. I got up Thursday. I work nights, so I sleep during the day. I got up Thursday and went to pay my property taxes. And my bank account said I had zero money in it. My bank account had been cleared out. I had nothing. Went to the bank right away, and we got the fraud charges going. And it's going to take 10 days to get it straightened out and refund the money. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, my homeowner's taxes are due and bills. And anyway, you know the kind of emotions you feel. So the testimony I have is I called the important people in my life, my mom, my sister, Jim, Pastor Miss Pat, and they prayed for me. That brought peace. It brought anger against the one. The anger was towards, which is Satan. And I proclaimed the stance, you can't win. The battle's won. You're just a stumbling block in my path. And I was able to go to work, concentrate on things at work, and not worry about the other stuff. And I just had a peace about it, that it would be handled. And no matter what the circumstances showed me, my God has a vault full of money. And he can share it. And I learned over the next couple of days that money is not the important thing. The family and friends around you are. My nieces came over and supported me for 2 days before Christmas. I had family saying, texting, we're praying, everything's going to be okay. I had a sister-in-law who's been there for 4 months send me text after text. We love you. We care for you. We're there. And then Christmas Day, for the first time in innumerable years, my entire family was together for Christmas. So my testimony is, through the trial, God triumphs.
And great testimony, Sherry. And there's more to come. You know, it's life is difficult, you know. On the best days, sometimes it's difficult. Things just pop up out of nowhere and just take the starch right out of you. So, and that's what happened to Sherry. And, you know, that's why I tell you all the time, on the good days, tell God how much you appreciate him and how much you love him and how much you're sold out to him. Because on the bad days, sometimes it's hard. I mean, when you're facing disaster, you know, and your bank account's been emptied by the evil one, it's difficult. God is our provider. God takes care of us. So worship him and tell him how much you love him and appreciate him on the good days, in case on a bad day you're not in a thankful mood, okay? And that's a normal thing. Well, it's usual every week Jim finds the perfect video for me. I mean, he just does. And he sent me a couple, and I looked at them, and I guess when you see it, you'll know why I picked it, okay? So our subject is about change, an unexpected change coming up in living with a new reality. So, Jim, if you're ready, I want you to start up that video, and we'll enjoy it together.
I'll tell the story. I remember it like it was yesterday.
You don't even know what you had for lunch yesterday.
I do, too. I had... Why don't you tell the story?
All right, I'll tell the story.
Oh, there I we hate the were. Way you tell the story. I'll tell the story. So there we were. It was the worst weekend of our life.
Jesus had been crucified.
He'd been placed in the tomb.
And we were all in the upper room, and we were very, very scared.
Oh, very scared and very nervous. Nervous as a pair of long-tailed cats in a room full of rockers.
Now, just to clarify, there were no cats and there were no rocking chairs.
I was speaking metaphorically.
Well, you need to be more clear. I need you to be more clear.
So anyway, it was chaos inside and then there was chaos outside.
And it was Mary, and she was off in the distance, and she was yelling frantically.
Yes, and then the doors bust open, and she's shouting at the top of her lungs, "He's alive! He's alive!" Now, Mary.
Sweet Mary, salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth, that woman. But sometimes she gets...
Well, she just gets a little confused.
Oh, to say the least. I remember I said to you, I bet she went to the wrong tomb.
It was just such chaos, and so we decided that we'd go back to our homes.
Right. Yeah. So we started back home. It's about a 7-mile walk on the road to Emmaus.
And we're walking and talking.
Talking and walking.
Then all of a sudden, this man comes up behind us.
Yes, I remember. He looked at us and he said, "Why the long faces?"
And I looked at him and I said, "That's just how we're made. We can't help it. And if you do not like it..."
The man was speaking metaphorically.
Well, I needed him just to be clear. He wasn't clear.
We said to him...
I said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem that hasn't heard just what has happened?"
Right, and I said to him, Jesus had been crucified, we placed him in the tomb, now we can't find his body.
And I went on to say we were just horribly disappointed because we thought Jesus was the one.
And he says, "Why are your heads so thick? Why are your hearts so slow?"
And I looked at him right in the eye and I said, "We're just getting older. We cannot help it. There's nothing we can..."
The man was speaking metaphorically.
I just needed him to be clear.
Then he looked at us. And he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and all through the prophets and explained to us how the scriptures said this would happen to the Messiah.
It was wonderful.
It was amazing. We came to a fork in the road.
Just to be clear, it wasn't a literal fork.
We came to a spot where the road divided, and I invited him to join us for dinner. I think he said yes because I told him my wife was making a cobbler.
She makes a great cobbler.
That woman can cobble. So we get here and we sit down for dinner.
And he blessed the meal and he broke the bread.
And then...
I looked at you.
And I looked at you.
And we knew.
Our hearts, they were burning inside of us.
We were sitting with the Messiah.
We were sitting at the table with the risen Savior.
And then both of us, we turned to face him, and
he was gone.
Vanished. I never get tired of telling that story.
I may not remember what I had for lunch, but I'll never forget that story.
Tell that story.
Well, aren't you a regular Bobby Fischer?
King me.
Not going to king you.
King me.
Not going to king you.
No, king me.
No, king.
That's a good story.
I'm not going to tell that story.
Add that one to your book. That's a good story.
What, the story of an old man who cheats at checkers to feel better about himself?
You're not clarifying that at all. I just won. Look at right there. That's a winner right there. That's a good story. That would be the title of the book, The Winner.
You are a winner.
I am a winner.
Look, I'm speaking metaphorically.
Why don't you keep you
with the winner? Oh, my goodness. Now you know why I picked that one? Boy, just the story. You know, I try to do so many times, I don't always adequately do it, but to realize that these are real people who faced real situations and had to deal with it. They had to deal with new reality. You know, when change comes, the reality that we have changes. The text, oops, you know what I don't have? Robert, would you go with Jim and he'll give you my little flipper? And they move in at breakneck speed. Here they come. They're looking desperately, but they will find it. And here it's getting ready. Now it's been passed on. And here he comes. He's moving around the curve, coming up now. It was, in just a moment, he'll be over the finish line. And he did it, the winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right, so So now I have this, living with a new reality. And let's go back over the scripture that we just saw in the video. Luke 24. Now that day, two of the men were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And then he goes on to verse 30. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless the reading of your word. And as we study this morning, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate to us just the way Jesus did to those two guys, that they illuminate to us the things that we need to know in order to serve you and follow you and live with the reality of this world. We thank you, Father. And we pray in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. A new reality requires and comes at the end of a road somewhere. You don't know it's the end, but it is the end. I heard Jeremiah this morning speaking about how life is like the chapters in a book and pages turn. And we never know what's on the next page. And when those pages turn, we have to live with that reality. There are three quotes of wisdom that I'd like to quote with you this morning. And these are all people that you will know when I tell you who said it. Take a reality pill, Pop. Tiffany Lobo said that on many occasions. Whenever I didn't quite understand the reality, Tiffany always just told me to take that pill. Here's another one. I deal with the world the way it is, not the way that I wish it would be. President Herbert Walker Bush said that. Very, very wise. And the most famous and the one that probably we should remember above anything, my grace is sufficient for you, Jesus the Christ. All right? And just as Sherry just shared, when change happens, unexpected things come along, how do we deal with it? Everything that these people had hoped for over 2,000 years ago was gone. It just vanished in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. It was gone. Everything that they had hope in, there was no kingdom, there was no promise, there was no future, there was no Jesus. They were walking in the wrong direction. They walked away from where all the action was because they were despondent. Things didn't go the way they expected them to go. And everyone in this room, save my granddaughter, who's not old enough to know this yet, life changes, and it changes on a dime, as we use that expression. And it comes by, and the question is, how do we react to it? Even if things are never going to be the same again. It's one thing when things change and then almost just as suddenly they go back to normal. then you go about living life. But for these guys, that day, they never had the Jesus with them who died on the cross. He spent a few days with them, not very long, but he wasn't the same guy that he was. He was the resurrected Jesus. Things had changed, and they had changed, and their life had to change. So a new vision, and every year at the first of the year, we think about a new vision. What's the new word for the new year? What can we live by that'll help us get through this new year? We have discovered in the last 2 years that this change, this permanent change, comes, and we have to deal with it. But we also learned that we can make a difference in the midst of a change. We don't have to let change overdo us, but we can adapt ourselves to the change and move on. Peter and John and all of the disciples that we all know so well through the Bible, they were the same men the day after Jesus left this place as they were the day before. They hadn't changed in their personality. Some of them still liked fried eggs, some of them didn't. Some of them liked veggies, and some of them didn't. But what changed was their ability to accept and to build on this new reality that God has provided for them. The words that Jesus said that baffled me probably as much, if more, not more than anything he ever said, when he told them, it's better for you if I go away. I would have said the same thing you would have said. Excuse me, I don't think so. You know, we like you and we're happy with you here. Don't go anywhere. But as it turns out, in hindsight, we look back through the eyes of wisdom and we see that it really was better. And the things that happened to us in this past year, although we don't see it because it's too close to it, it's really better for us because our trust and our faith in God has grown. And we believe him and we trust him to take us through all the horrible things that we've gone through. It's united us in many ways and made us stronger. We're trusting each other. We trust in God. And we, in the words of the scriptures, that says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. If you're watching me right now and you don't know God and you don't have a relationship with him, you are in trouble. You're in big trouble. But COVID is not your problem. Sin is your problem. And that's why Christ came to remove sin so that you could have a sinless life by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could live a life that allows you to trust in him no matter what comes next week. We don't know that this is not a downer sermon, but here's some things you don't know the answer to. What is going to happen with Russia and what's going on over by the Ukraine, over in that area? We don't know. What's going to happen with North Korea building nuclear weapons? You don't know. What's going to happen with China and the things they're doing? You don't know that before you leave this building, you will hear that the world is in utter chaos and in another great war beyond anything you've ever heard of before. You don't know that. But what you do know is that if you will walk in the right direction with your face to the S-O-N, not the S-U-N, you know that God will take you through all things. We have a great history of testimonies over 2,000 years. These guys didn't have 2,000 years of history of Christianity working. We have over 2,000 years of story after story after story of how God shows up when you least expect him while you're in a new reality to take you through it. Somebody ought to be shouting. I mean, that's, if you don't have that, you have nothing. Of all the things that we have hope beyond this world. The scripture said, if you have hope just in this world, you are of all men to be pitied. But we're not pitied because we have faith and trust in God. Now, we just need to learn how to adjust to these new realities. And I want to talk to you about that, of living in these new realities, all right? First saying, the new reality begins within you. Let's go back to that passage of Scripture and look at it a little closer. They asked each other. Sometimes the person closest to you is not the wisest person to ask. True. Sometimes you need to get somebody who knows. Somebody's got some experience. That's what good fellowship within the body of believers, where you can talk to somebody who knows. Shall we talk to some people who can help us? When the plumbing's leaking, don't call an electrician. You know, make sure you call somebody who knows spiritual things. He said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? What really helped these guys? Now, the first thing you say, well, Jesus was there and Jesus was talking to them. I grant you that's good, but they didn't know that. You don't know that the person that you're speaking to may be an angel sent by God to help you through the new reality. You don't know that. And many times it will be that. But what helped them so much? Well, he opened the scriptures to us. The first place you should run to is to the scriptures. When you've been slammed and the breath is taken out of you, when you don't know how you're going to face the next 5 minutes in life, run to the scriptures. One of the best things you can do for yourself, and I know some of you are going to go, oh no, not that again. Memorize scripture. Because once you memorize it, you've got it there. You might not always be able to reach your Bible. You may not be able to always call the pastor or somebody to give you a scripture. But if you've memorized it and you've got it in your heart, there's some basic scriptures you ought to just know. One of the go-to things that help you in new realities is where it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What it doesn't say is that your reality will change. But what it does say is that the peace of God that passes all understanding will do two things for you. It'll keep your heart and it'll keep your mind in Christ Jesus. So you'll be able to live with the new reality you're in, and you'll be able to know what to do. And you'll only get that from the scriptures. If you don't know that scripture that I just quoted to you, you're going to be wondering one day, what was that passage of scripture that Pastor Morris was talking about? Happens to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Go get it, verses 6 and 7. And memorize it. Force yourself to do it. There are others, but that is one that will get you through the next 5 minutes of your life when you need it. Jesus' body was laid in the tomb for 3 days, and nothing had changed from the cross to the grave. You know, sometimes if something happens, you say, we can sing like Annie, you know, tomorrow, tomorrow, you know, but when you get to tomorrow, it's still bleak and doom. Well, they went through 3 days of bleak and doom, and, you know, nothing changed, nothing had happened. They had no expectation that anything would be better. Jesus was raised, and they didn't know it. Do you know that Jesus is alive? Do you know it? I mean, do you live that way? Can you get that to rescue you? Had they known it, they wouldn't have been despondent walking in the wrong direction. they would have been in the right direction. And that's the end of the story, isn't it? That's exactly what happened to them. They were walking in the wrong direction because they didn't know the reality. Beloved, God is always working on your behalf, even when it doesn't look like it. More times than I can count, I've heard this, but where was God? Well, I got a song for you. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. That's where he always is. And he never leaves us and he never deserts us. In this world we have tribulation, but the promise is that the risen Christ will take us through the tribulation. Doesn't say it'll change the circumstances. It'll just bring us through that. The psalmist wrote many years ago, before Jesus was born, he said, though we walk through the valley. He didn't say we skipped over it. Didn't say we jumped over it. He didn't say that there wasn't any valley. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So we will go through things and we will live with new realities that we can't make go away. But we know that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our realities, says our enemies. And he says that he anoints our head with oil. You know, when you get prayed for in a church like ours and, you know, we anoint you with oil, man, when God anoints you, he just pours it over you. We put a little dab on you. In fact, the way they used to do it is they had a horn that was filled with oil. And they would just pour it over him. Let it run down. It says it ran down Aaron's beard. You know, maybe we ought to get a bigger vat of oil to pray for you. We might do a little better. Some of you may just change churches, but that's okay. But seriously, he anoints our head with oil, and he said that our cup runs over. What is a cup? To quench the thirst of you. One of the things that Pat and I do, and I've learned this through my own personal tragedies, that when something bad happens, you need water. You really do. I mean, I remember when I was in the boat and bleeding and all that was going on, and the guy who was with me said, do you need anything? I said, yeah, I need some water. You're parched. And so he gives us a cup that's overflowing with a living water that can quench every thirst that we have. So we're anointed. He's taking care of us in the midst of the circumstances that we're in, and he gives us a drink that will quench us, our thirst, so that we'll never thirst again. That's the life that we have in Christ Jesus. He is the new reality. I can't change the outside of you. The outside of you is your flesh. You know, and you've heard me say on many occasions, you've heard other grace preachers talk about it. I can't change your behavior. You're incorrigible. You're so hard-headed. You know, you're determined to walk the way you want to walk, and and I give you all the advice in the world. He's like, and you go do whatever you want to do anyway. Then you wonder why your life is a wreck sometimes. You know, I can't do that. But God can do something on the inside of you that will give you what you need in order to do what you need to do for yourself. Not for anybody else, but for your own self. We'll go back a few years. Hurricane Betsy. Anybody here was around when the Hurricane Betsy hit? All right. I was in a school. It wasn't a place where you would have food and water and all that stuff. It was just a school that was two stories, and we got in that. And everywhere I looked, when the sun came up, houses were flooded. I mean, everybody's house was just up to the eaves of the house. And I felt really concerned about that. This is my mom and dad's house, was one of those houses. But there was a levee between where the floodwaters were and where my house was. So I knew that my house was okay. So my understanding and feeling about that was a little bit different than some of the folks who just lost their house. Then this lady swam in, and we pulled her in and got her as dried off as we could. And she's, and we said, where do you live? And she gave her address, which was a half a block from where my house was. Suddenly, it was a big deal because my house was flooded and I needed something. So the point is that sometimes you need help and you don't know you need help. So you need to, you can't lift a heavy weight if you never go to the gym and practice with a heavy weight. You can't walk a long distance if you don't practice walking. You can't do stuff unless you have a lifestyle that prepares you for any and everything that will come along. Now, internally, you can do that through the Word of God, through trusting in God, through prayer. All these things build you up and make a muscle man out of you. I had a guy that Pat and I knew many, many years ago, and he was a bodybuilder, and he was in great shape. I mean, he could bend steel. I mean, this guy was great. And he described himself. He said, on the outside, I look really great. But he said, on the inside, I'm a stick man. He said, spiritually, I'm just not where I need to be. And he talked about starting to build himself up spiritually on the Word of God and practicing and exercising with the Word of God. And I thought that was a great illustration that he used that day. And so, you might identify with that. You know, you might look good on the outside, but on the inside, said, man, I'm just a stick man or a stick girl. Well, the bad news is that you need to grow. The good news is that you can. And you need to do it internally. If the inside of you is okay, the outside is going to be all right. If you're okay internally with your relationship between you and God, I'm not talking about being saved. I mean, just knowing how to live in this world, you'll be able to deal with every circumstance that comes along. And believe me, some of the most heinous, horrible things happen to people in this world who had four children who were killed in an automobile accident instantaneously. How'd you like to wake up to that reality? But you know what? These people had inside been building themselves up for years. Their children had been living for Christ. They were teenagers, but building up that innermost being. Did that family hurt? Well, of course they hurt. But did they despair? No, they didn't despair. Because God gave them what they needed to go through that reality, and they shared their story, and we got to hear it, and now you have got to hear it. And it should build you up knowing that tragedy happens in this world, but God will take you through it. I think sometimes the church does us an injustice. It sings a lot of kumbaya stories as if life is not going to be difficult. Well, it is difficult. Every day is not a sunshiny day. And this is, again, I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. I'm trying to help you to understand that when realities change and you have to deal with it, you'll just have to deal with it. I had to deal with my house being flooded. It was me. I had to deal with it. Unfortunately, at that time, I didn't know God from a fence post. And I didn't get through it very well, I want to tell you. I was not a happy camper. So, that burning that they said they experienced inside, when the Holy Ghost begins to burn within you, when the Word of God will give you what you need to quench your thirst and to help you. When that happens, it gave them rise to do something different. When Jesus shared the scriptures with them, the scriptures became signposts to lead them in the new direction that they needed to go. They needed to do something different because what they were doing wouldn't have worked. Because they were trying to go back to a place of normalcy that no longer existed. So, the next thing is about the new reality requires walking with Jesus. Again, back to the scripture, verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of them. Jesus always takes the first step for us. I used to hear some erroneous teaching and preaching. It said, if you'll take the first step, God will take the next step. You know, that gets people trying to change their behavior. You know, well, you take the step and then God will take the next. That's not the way it works. What works is God takes the first step so that you can walk alongside of him. Abraham Lincoln said one time during the Civil War, somebody made a comment and said, did he believe that he was that God was on his side? And he said, that's the wrong question. The question is, am I on God's side? Are we on walking with him in his direction, or are we dragging him along the way that we want to go? They were despondent. They were hurt. They were lost. They had lost earthly things. But there was a flickering flame within them that Jesus fanned with the breath of the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. This is a great scripture from Matthew chapter 12. This is another great scripture to memorize. Chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. Have you ever been a bruised reed? You know what a bruised reed is? Let me help you with a visual. We have them all over this place. Call them cat o' nine tails. You know, they grow up tall and they got that brown looking thing at the top, so 4 or 5 inches. And if they're healthy and you hold them, you can hold them and the thing will just kind of wave, you know, and it's kind of a nice little thing. Tiffany knows one day I stopped on the side of the road driving back from New Orleans and she wanted one, and I really didn't think that much of it, but she remembered it and she reminded me of it several occasions. And I went with my wingtip shoes on, which I used to wear wingtip shoes, and my suit, climbed out of along the interstate, went through in the swamp and got some cat nine tails. But if that reed gets broken, then it has to get broken in half. It just has to get bent. You know what you can't do with it anymore? You can't hold it up because it'll flop over. And sometimes your life flops over. You're like a bruised reed. You can't get yourself straightened up. How do I get straight again? Or a smoldering wick. The only time we understand that a little bit because we live in hurricane country and we have our hurricane lanterns. But you know that if that oil gets low or you don't have the wick at the right place, it'll start to smolder and it'll go out. You know, and it starts putting out smoke instead of putting out light. And he says he won't quench a bruised reed, he won't break, and a smoldering wick, he won't snuff it out. What he does is he turns up our wick, he fans us to get the flame going again. That's his job. That's what God does for us. As believers, we have hope knowing that God has a way to take care of us, and he won't just throw us on the side of the road. Here's a broken reed. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And God says, come here. Come here. Let me straighten you up a little bit here. Let me help you. Put a spiritual band-aid on you so that you can go on and keep breathing. It's dark here, Lord. I don't see the light. How do I get out of here? Where's the door that gets me out of this tunnel of darkness? He says, wait a minute, let me just turn up the light a little bit for you. Let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, illuminate that for you. David said that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, because we don't use lanterns to get around, we don't really get that. We all have what? Flashlights, you know. Instant on, instant off. You know what it is? Some of them shine in the darkness like a beacon on the top of a hill. But when you walk with a lantern, it was down low. And you could see the next step. But you couldn't see the step 10 steps ahead of you. So it illuminated your path so that you could know that you were walking in the right direction and you wouldn't bump into a tree or a house or something else. So it gets you going in the right direction, and then it helps you so your next step you take, you make the right step. That's the presence of God in your life at work. He's the light of the world. What I didn't read to you earlier out of John chapter 1, it says, and the light came into the world, and the darkness could not overcome it. He is that light that lives. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, so that the world would know where to go. But I bet you never thought of it this way. You're the light, so you know where to go. You ever been in the darkness when the light, the electricity goes off, and you're hunting all over the house for a flashlight? And you can't find it? We need light. We're no good to the rest of the world if we don't have our light shining and know what to do next. Light shows us what's around us so that we know what we do and what we can do. It's not just to say, oh, well, it's bright and sunny today. It's not enough. I need to know what to do on a bright and sunny day. You, like those men, have been bruised and are flickering with the new reality that comes into your life sometimes. But Jesus heals us and lights our life so that we can walk in the right direction. Oh, Brother Morris, that's just too easy. And say, if I just read the Bible, everything's going to be okay. I'm saying if you read the Bible and believe what it says and live by it, it won't change your outside reality, but it changes your inside reality. That's what needs to be changed. You can't change yourself by yourself. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it just briefly. I used to smoke a lot. It wasn't because I was running fast. It was because I was buying cigarettes and smoking them. All right. I tried a million times to quit smoking. I tried to change my behavior, and I couldn't do it. But on the day that I gave my life to Christ, not as in salvation, but just agreeing to follow him, God took the desire for cigarettes completely away from me. 100% was gone. But why? Because I was filling myself up day by day with the Word of God, studying the Word, praying, asking God for direction, going to church. I never missed a church service. You'll think this is dumb, but it's true. Pat and I were going to a little Baptist church here in town, and we were there. Once we got in the swing of things, we were there every Sunday morning, and they used to ask us to go to church on Sunday night. And I think I told us here, and we didn't go on Sunday night. And they kept asking us. And finally I said, why would I go to church on Sunday night to hear what I heard on Sunday morning? And they looked at me like, are you that dumb? We have a different sermon on Sunday night. And I said, really? I didn't know. So then we started going to church on Wednesday night because they had a different sermon then. So we got pumped up 3 times a week. But we were there. And that's the life that we chose. And for us, just talking about me and Tiffany, you know, she's the old joke. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. She got drugged to church. Can you remember a Sunday that we didn't go to church? Never. Never. When the church doors were open, we were there. Say, well, you're just bragging. No, I'm telling you how pathetic I am. I needed to hear what was being taught in that church. And not just a sermon. Sermons are one-way information. I'm just pouring out. But I got in classes where I could interact and ask questions and get involved and build relationships, and all those things together made it so that when Pat and I went through these quantum changes in our lives, we stumbled and we fell, but we rose up. Rejoice not over me, all my enemies. Though I stumble and fall, I shall arise. And we've been down and had, I'm trying to say the nice words here. We've been down and got back up. And we did it by what we did to ourselves internally. Say, well, and you might be listening, oh, you're just a religious fanatic. Yes, I am. I admit it. I am so dependent upon God and his word and the church that without God, His Word, and the church, I am the zero. I'm a disaster happening. The day I got hurt and was in the hospital, and Tiffany had flown in, and I think I was coming out of surgery or going into surgery, one of the two, and she was there, and she said something, and I quipped it, like about the usual moment. And she told her mother, I didn't hear it, they told me about the letter. She said, my daddy's still in there. You know, her daddy was still, I was missing an arm, and I looked pretty sorry, but I internally had not changed one iota. I never said, God, why did this happen to me? I never asked God, why did I have to go through my life doing this? Never once questioned God in that. Say, oh, you're a spiritual giant. No, I'm a weak, puny, hopeless, helpless person who is completely dependent upon God and His presence in my life and the Word of God to help me. What I'm telling you is good for all of us, not just for me, but for all of us. The Word of God changes us internally. All right. The last thing I want to say, it's not the finish, but it's the last thing. In case you thought you were getting out of here. The new reality requires changing direction. Verse 33, and they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They decided to go back to what they knew, the Word of God, where God was moving. Jerusalem is a picture of the center of God's will. They went back to that, and what did they find? They found the 11, that's the apostles, and those with them assembled together. What did they find? They found the church where they could get some help. What do you think it was like when they walked into the room where those other folks were? Holy moly! Do you know what happened to us? We were walking the road and we saw, he's already been here. No. We saw him out there, but he's been here. Where is he now? I don't know, but let me tell you. You know, that conversation was crazy. Shouting over one another in great joy. Because one of the best places for you to get strength is right here in a local church. You take that story you told this morning and you go out there and tell it to the world, and they will give you nothing but grief. They won't believe you. Say, what's the matter with you? You know, you lost your money. You can't trust those banks. But you come in here, and we say, yes, God is in control. Yes, God will take you through it. Because that's what the church does. Remember, Jesus saves your life, and the church does what? Come on. What? I've said this a bunch of times. You ought to know it by now. Jesus saves your soul, and the church does what? Tell it, saves your life. It saves your life. This thing, this living body of living stones built together, helping one another through this crazy world we live in. That's why we go to church. You know what I would do if for some reason God closed this church down? You know what I would do the following Sunday? I'd be looking for a church. That's where I'd go. You know why? Because I can't live without the church. I can't live without you. You are the church. You think I come here just because I get to preach? I come here because I need to be around you. I need to hear the word. Leave the past behind. Turn around now. Start moving in the right direction. The right direction is the Word of God, God's people, the church. That's what I said it earlier, but let me refocus it again. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but there's an old song that says, but I know who holds tomorrow. And He'll take us through it, no matter what the tragedy of it is. I'll show you this. You are as close to a miracle as you are to a tragedy. Let that sink into your mind for a moment. You are as close to a miracle as you are to a tragedy. If you don't know what good things are going to happen to you tomorrow or this very day, you don't know that your son's going to show up out of nowhere, you know, after a couple of years hiatus. What he needs is a good spanking because You are good parents. You know, if I had your son, I'd look him eyeball to eyeball and say, you get over here and spend some time with your mom and daddy. Because if something happens to them, you will lament for the rest of your life that you didn't spend time with these two wonderful people. I hope you're listening. Get a copy of this and send it to him. So you know he made the church sermon for today. But it's true. Miracles still happen. You know, and it's, you know, it's nice to hear other people's miracles, but you know it's even better to hear your own miracle. What do you need? How clear does the Bible have to be? You ask, you have not, because you ask not. Well, I've already asked. Well, there's a scripture for you. Keep on knocking. I love that scripture where Jesus said the guys needed some bread for his strangers that showed up, and he's knocking on the neighbor's door. And why did that guy give him bread? Was it bread? I think it was. He gave him bread. You know why? You know why he gave him bread? Because the guy nagged him to death. Kept beating on the door. He was not going to get any sleep until he gave him some bread. Just think of God that way. It's okay to nag God. He doesn't care. He might say, just cool your jets, relax. It's going to be okay. But you keep knocking. That's the reality of being with God and serving God. They spent the day going in the wrong direction. When they saw Jesus, they started heading in the right direction. Why do you think over my head back there it says what it says? Come home. All is forgiven. You know, all the dumb things you've done and said and didn't do and should have done, all those things. It's in the out of God's memory bank. But your presence there. You want to get encouraged? Go read the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to preach it this morning. That's why I have a painting. It's a faux painting because it's not the original Rembrandt back in our lobby of the prodigal son. Because sometimes you need to go home where Father is, in Father's house. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, how obstinate and hard-headed you've been, and all the things you may have done. Just come home to Father's house. It was late in the day when they got there. The day has been spent. How many of you could walk 7 miles? Don't answer that. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to see that, all right? 7 miles. Now, I know my son-in-law walks a lot of miles. That's one of the things he does. It takes a little while to walk 7 miles at a fast clip, doesn't it? It takes time. It took them some time to get back. They were late when they got there. The day had been forespent. But listen to this. It wasn't too late. It's never too late to go home. It's never too late to cry out to God. It's always the right time when you get there. When they got home, what did they discover? God's people gathered together. They too had seen Jesus. Don't go to a bunch of heathen. Go to people who know God. God's people, that's where they went. And what did they do? They started to live the new reality together. Go read the book of Acts and you'll find out something about that group of people. They changed the whole world upside down. From despondency and hurt and a reality that they didn't want, they changed the whole world. I want to close with this thought for you. What God will do in you and through you is written on the next page of your story. I didn't know that I would be here doing what we're doing. I didn't know the story of the casino that we all just went through was going to be a day of victory. But I knew that if I just did what I knew how to do, that I could trust God no matter the outcome. That's the way we need to live our lives. Sure, we all want things. We all want the sunshiny days. We all want blooms and blossoms and miracles every day. But if we don't have them, let's trust God that as he turns the page of a new day, you'll still be the same as you were the previous day. serving God, worshiping God, loving God. One of the great joys that I have in my life in serving God is this, that when I hear a sermon like this one, and I hear them on radio and TV all the time, I never have to look inwardly and say, man, I need to get my act together. My act is together. Because I'm in the arena with the director of all acts, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust him. Now, one day you might see me down, but if you ever see me down, don't rejoice over me being down. I will arise because he rose. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself happy. We have a great year about to unfold if God gives us one in a week. So next week, God willing, I'll talk about this a little bit more in preparing for 2022, getting ready for a year that we don't know. It's a new chapter. Let's get ready for it, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all these wonderful people, Lord. These are my friends. Father, these are my fellow believers. These are fellow building blocks, living stones, building this thing called the church. Not just our four doors, but everyone's four doors. The church around the world of those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, let this day be a good day for us. If somebody here is waiting for a miracle, let it happen today. I'm asking on their behalf, and I'm asking together. I don't know what they need, but you do, and they do. And I ask you to help them and let those miracles come to pass. And Father, for those who are not here, wherever they may be, I ask you to bless them. Watch over them. I know many folks are with their families. I ask you to bless their time together. And let them come back with great testimonies. Let the ones who aren't here today come up to me next Sunday morning and say, Pastor, can I give a testimony? Can I give a testimony? Lord, that we might hear of the mighty works that you have done. Keep us safe. Help everyone to get to their destination. Get those planes flying safely again so the people who are traveling to and from visiting around the nation, around the world, they'll be able to get back to their homes. We love you, Lord. We praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all the kids said, amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray for you before you leave.